Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN. So I mean, and like they're playing competitively and still losing, so we're going to get a good draft pick. Just I'll save two to next year. I'm good.
I know, but 0-4.
All right, rolling for
I
the
think
big
that was
suey.
Possible with Watson.
We should start. We should get right into it.
Dak's a fantasy monster, huh?
I love it. I have him.
I do too in one of my leagues, but I keep losing anyways. It's awful.
He threw for 500?
Yeah.
He said he has the most passing yards ever in the first 4 weeks of a season.
Yeah.
Pays for 6,700 yards this year, by the way.
I just keep rooting for his team to be down by 10 points in the fourth quarter because I know he's just going to keep throwing it.
They always are down 10 in the fourth.
I know. And then he gets them right back there and
yes!
does something like yesterday where it's
That's the craziest part is they always find their way back within like a score late.
They were down 24 in the fourth yesterday, right?
Mike, how scared were you as a Browns fan yesterday as that was playing out?
I was a little nervous. I knew Dallas would make that run just given what I've seen from Dallas this year. But also is more so the history of the Cleveland Browns franchise that had me worried. It just needed like one or two first downs. And Baker Mayfield missed Odell Beckham streaking wide open by the sidelines. But hey, the Browns have a good team. They have this team that is built to beat the Chiefs minus the good defense necessary to do it because they have one of the worst pass defenses in the entire league. Well, some of it's injury and some of it's just they're just bad. Dak Prescott had 500 yards.
I think Jarvis might be their best quarterback.
He might be. Right? I'm not, Mike, I'm not certain they have the quarterback to beat the Chiefs.
You know, okay? You guys got to shut up with that, honestly.
No, we don't.
The quarterback, look, the quarterback is good enough. There's only like three quarterbacks that can transcend a scheme. And I've come to peace with the fact that maybe Baker Mayfield, it doesn't need, you know, crap offensive court. Doesn't matter. You just throw him out there. He's this Russell Wilson type. He's not that. Okay. But if you scheme around him and you play to his strengths, he can be the best quarterback we've had since 1999. He is. He flatly is.
That's not saying very much, though.
No, it's not. Not at all. We've had crap quarterbacks since 1999. But it's weird. And Bomani is guilty of this because Bomani is still blaming coaching for Robert Griffin III not being good, even though one of those coaches was Kyle Shanahan. With Baker Mayfield, he had three of the worst head coaches in NFL history to start his career. Three of the worst. He's finally getting coaching. He is running a system that is from that Kubiak-Shanahan tree that helps quarterbacks out, and you're finally seeing it pay dividends. They ran, I mean, the four-string running back for Cleveland ran for 95 yards. This is the best rushing attack in the league. Hopefully Nick Chubb's okay.
Yesterday had little to do with Baker. It did. It had little to do with Baker. It was all about what you just said. It was Duke. It was Odell. It was Hunt. It was Nick Chubb. It was Duke? 40 carries. I'm sorry, Johnson.
Yeah, you saw D. Johnson and thought it was Duke Johnson.
I did think it was Duke Johnson. Is he on the
safe bet. They got a guy from the AAF. I think his name is D'Ernest.
He had 13 carries, 95 yards, but 40 carries for 307 yards. That's why your team's good.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. It's certainly not the defense, although Myles Garrett is an absolute beast. But, this is exciting.
That's the best offensive game. To Billy's point, though, Landry's throw there was the best throw a quarterback for Cleveland has made this century.
Odell actually had a really nice one last season, too. Stefanski was saying that he was staring at that play call for like 3 weeks. He wasn't going to go another game without dialing that up.
It was such a good throw, though.
It was
a ridiculously good throw.
It was great. They're putting their offense in good positions, and you just need buy-in from guys because I'm worried about Jarvis wanting the ball. I'm worried about Odell Beckham wanting the ball. You got to have occasionally those types of games, and he wasn't getting those last year. And that was the Odell Beckham Jr. that I ran off a soccer field when I saw the news that we traded for. That was unbelievable, especially that garbage play that sealed the game. That was unbelievable. That was just all-world talent from Odell Beckham.
It was only the second best throw of the game, though. Did you see Dak thread the needle, Dan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, yeah, how did great. That ball get in there?
The Cooper, the throw, the slant to Cooper? Yeah.
Amazing.
It confused the cameraman. The cameraman was like trying to find the ball. He was looking up in the stands at one point, I think, to see if the ball just disappeared.
I was worried that Denzel Ward was paralyzed from that throw. I'm not even kidding, because the two defenders, it was like the Greg Beaker, Michael Vick run where the two players just collided into each other. It was an unbelievable throw. Dak is good, and he was the second best quarterback on the field behind Jarvis Landry.
Dak has 1,700 yards throwing for the season.
I know.
We're four games in.
I know. I did, Tony said that he's on pace for like 6,400 yards for the season. Do you guys think coaches prepare for everything, okay? Do you guys think, like I was surprised, I saw Jarvis Landry play plenty down here. I had to be reminded that he's left-handed because I don't believe that coaches, I know that he's left-handed. I've seen him throw the football before, but I don't believe that when Jarvis Landry is getting the handoff on the reverse that a coach has prepared his team for here comes a left-handed missile launch 45 yards down the field from a left arm. Do you think that was prepared for?
I would hope so. I think Odell's lefty too, and they ran that play plenty last year. I think they ran it like five times where Odell would get the ball on a reverse and look for Landry. This is the first time that I can remember it being Landry. So, yeah, we have two lefty quarterbacks on the field. I'm super excited, man. That is good offense Cleveland have. I cannot believe this. We've scored 30-plus in three straight weeks. I'm super excited. This is really good. It was a good weekend, man. That was a great weekend. I'm excited.
Aikman started entire season, 16 games, where he had 3,000 yards or less. I mean, Dax already had 1,700.
Yes, it's totally ridiculous. Yes, he is.
I can't get over this. I'm sorry.
And they're 1-3.
Who cares?
They are tied with Washington. No, I guess Philadelphia is atop the division at 1-2-1.
Right. They mocking the Eagles now for going for that tie. I mean, that tie was important, as I said last week.
Really? You're going to do a victory lap saying that the tie was important? That's what you're going to do? It's the third time you've said it today. You've said it twice during the breaks. Like, how many times?
How many times?
Well, I wasn't going to say it, so you just jammed it in yourself.
I felt like you weren't going to say it, so that's why I did
it. So, yes, it was a tie against Cincinnati that we can still laugh at because it was a f***ing tie against Cincinnati.
A big tie.
I have to make a correction. Odell is ambidextrous, so he can throw with both.
Wow.
What?
He's a bit of an athlete. You can look up, or you guys should check it out on YouTube. He's good at every sport. Like, there's a montage of him doing, like, seven ridiculous things. One of them he was trying to do in the end zone was flip a ball over his head with his feet, like, because he's pretty good at soccer, too.
When people say, what if our best athletes played soccer? It's LeBron James can't play soccer. That's unless he wants to play goalkeeper. There's just certain things that your feet need to be of a certain size to be good. But Odell Beckham Jr., and like Russell Westbrook, these are guys that I point at. Oh, those guys would be good at soccer. And he did a soccer celebration. How about those Cleveland Browns?
On the other end of the spectrum, Chris Cody is also enthusiastic because his Dolphins are competitive, but they're losing. They've got the first round pick and the second round pick of the Texans. He has not yet seen Tua taken out of bubble wrap, so he still has that hope being pristine. And always, Chris, just know this, because if Tua is not going to play this year, in a shootout against Russell Wilson, when you need 30-plus points, Ryan Fitzpatrick will give you five field goals. You will get five field goals out of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I was telling Chris during the break, I'd like to see Tua because I think it'd be exciting to see Tua. I was unaware they had the Texans' first pick last year, and the Texans are 0-4, which seems impossible that a team with Deshaun Watson at quarterback would be 0-4. But
if only they had a wide receiver.
but seeing the way Joe Burrow has played and seeing the way Justin Herbert has played has me yearning to see Tua because it's been fun watching those two play and I'd like to see Tua, but Chris makes a good point. Why? We're losing games. We're in games. We're losing them. We have all these draft picks next year. Keep them healthy.
So Chris is excited about losing and Mike is excited about winning. Yes, Billy.
The Dolphins haven't really looked that bad, though, right? I mean, they've played three playoff teams.
Yes, three really good teams. I was thinking of this the other day. There was somebody, the Texans. The way the Texans started, yes, they're 0-4, but they started Chiefs, Ravens, and was it Seahawks or Patriots? Chiefs, Ravens, Patriots? They had
Steelers.
Steelers, that's what it was. Yes.
Like, but in a battle of winless teams, and I know Minnesota's season was sort of on the line, too, you got to win that one, considering your offseason. They didn't. And that was, I think, reading headlines entering that game was Bill O'Brien's taking more responsibility calling the game.
I can't believe the NFL, the football's been so good. It's been so entertaining, and I cannot believe it. I don't know why I'm so surprised by it, but I am.
But what
like having no fans there has not affected my viewing experience at all.
Easy with the no fans. Jerry World had like close to 30,000, and I saw a primetime game between the hedges where they said it was 25,000 people in the stands, and bullshit. There were 40,000 people in that stadium for Auburn, Georgia.
I marvel again. I know I said this last week, but I marvel again that we did not have the ability to keep the coronavirus out of the White House, but we did have the ability to keep it out of our basketball playoffs. Like, that has been super startling. You see, now in football, we've got the beginning of the chaos a fourth of the way through the season where the Patriots are going to play a game with Brian Hoyer. I don't know if this stuff keeps happening, how it is that they're going to make up all of these games on the back end, but they're just going ahead. The Patriots, you have tonight a real distortion of a team and the highest profile in football, obviously, but all our sports so far, the highest profile impact, because all of these games essentially in football, when you play so few of them, they all become playoff games. Right. So we have not seen a team dismantled by the virus in the hockey playoffs. We have not seen a team dismantled in the basketball playoffs. And the baseball playoffs just started, and it hasn't happened in the baseball playoffs yet. But you've now seen it in football. Taking Cam Newton away and replacing him with Brian Hoyer is a general virus unfairness to what the Patriots are as they try and stay in a division with a Bills team that's obviously very good.
Right. Now, neither of those teams had, according to Schefter, had another positive test. So that game will take place tonight.
But that's what I'm saying is it'll yes. take place with Brian Hoyer as the quarterback.
Yes.
Now you have a distortion of the integrity and the quality of the product based on the virus and the need to play these games when he's not otherwise sick or unable to play the game. Like, the gulf of difference between Cam Newton and Brian Hoyer, but it's just terrible luck is all it is. And it's not terribly fair that the Patriots, because we need to get the television dollars, we need to get these games broadcast, it's not terribly fair that they're just playing it anyway. They're not postponing it because an important player's gone. They're just playing it on a different day.
Yeah. It's not fair, but it's what we're dealing with, right? It's why it's important to have.
But it's the first time we're dealing with it, is what I'm saying. Yeah. This is the first time since sports started that you're dealing with that kind of integrity distortion. Other than if you want to say just baseball has distorted its entire product by playing a 60-game season.
I mean, the Marlins had a pandemic. It still managed to get to the postseason.
Yeah, the Cardinals, too.
But they didn't lose a player like Cam Newton.
Well, that's a good point.
No, but relative to their team.
They lost their entire bullpen. They lost their entire bullpen.
They lost their entire team.
I can go to the minor leagues and get a bunch of bullpen arms. I can't go to the minor leagues and find anybody who plays like Cam Newton.
Where New England erred, honestly, is Cam Newton being the only person that got it. They needed a full-on outbreak because Tennessee is going to be rewarded for having an outbreak. Where New England is traveling this morning for a game later today to Kansas City in two separate planes. One plane that had contact with Cam Newton, the other that didn't have contact with Cam Newton.
That's crazy.
They've had all the negative tests. It's game on right now. There have been no additional positives, but the fact that they got one and it just happens to be the most important player for them at the most important position, it's terrible luck, and you're rewarding Tennessee for controlling it less. than New England did. It kind of stinks when you look at it that way.
Now, the Titans had no more positives as well today, so their game will be
made up. Yeah, but what are they up to, 12 players, 13 players?
I think it's more than that. Their game, according to Schefter, will be made up week 5, but will all the Titans be able to play next week, Mike?
It depends.
I don't know.
So you can make a quarantine. You can make a recovery. There might be a mandatory 14-day isolation period, or you just need consistent negatives. It varies.
The biggest factor with this for me was whether Patrick Mahomes was going to play on my fantasy team this week. He's like, it was up in the air. I didn't know whether to start Nick Mullins last night. Thank God I just rolled the dice, left Mahomes in.
Nick Mullins, I was watching last night because Mina Kimes Stugatz has been against the spread. I've just asked her the last 3 weeks who she likes. She picks 3 games. She's 8-0. And tonight she likes the Falcons, but she is taking games that I would never bet on the team she's picking. I would have never bet the Eagles last night because I would have been scared of their constipated offense and Carson Wentz throwing everything 4 yards.
And you saw so much out of the Niners beating the Giants and the Jets.
I mean, they did. With everyone injured, the Niners did crush both those teams.
I think the Eagles were down their starting offensive line. Like, their starting offensive line was out for that game. Now, they played against a team whose entire, like, defensive line was also injured for that game. But that's not just, a wide receiver has a groin injury. That's your entire starting unit.
But the Eagles were playing for first place.
Not because of that aforementioned tie that you won't stop aforementioning.
Can I get on that text string with Mina?
I'm not making it up. And she's just taking...
take the Falcons tonight, Chris.
I just can't believe, though, the game she's taking. I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable betting the Giants, which she had in the only game they played well. I don't feel comfortable betting the Jags, but in both of those games, 8-0, I can't believe it.
So Dan's keeping this a little bit of a secret here, this little him and, Mina connection, 8-0, she's a ringer. Let's all pound the Dirty Birds tonight, okay? Yeah, Chris, you good?
I already did.
Yeah, hi, how about that? Me too.
For the record, Mina Kimes did not have Jacksonville yesterday. The time that she took Jacksonville was against the Titans. They were a big dog, and they played the Titans close. And there was another game earlier this year, not the one they played yesterday, even though the Giants covered yesterday. There was another game earlier this year that the Giants ended up playing pretty well. But the New York football teams are dreadful, except for the Buffalo Bills, who seem legitimately good. And I would still like to see them play against stiffer competition, Stugatz, because...
Right. I mean, they're in the AFC East. There's nothing they can really do about it. Right.
But I do believe that what they have at quarterback, and we will see how this ends up playing out over the course of the season, is a bit of a ticking time bomb. That there will be recklessness and there will be turnovers. The thing about Josh Allen that has really surprised me is he's just a lot more accurate than he was last year. Like the precision, the precision you guys are talking about at the position, the way Dak Prescott is playing it, where he's throwing it into a window, where there's so many passes being thrown in the sport. And this has happened, I don't know, this is the evolution over the last 10 years or so. The quarterbacks are so precise that they're throwing it into places where it doesn't matter if you know what's coming. You're not going to be able to do anything about it because the throw is just too good and the receiver's too big. The thing about what is happening, though, with Josh Allen is I thought as everyone else got more accurate that his inaccuracy was going to be a bigger problem, but he seems to have really improved in terms of accuracy. He must have not gotten very good coaching in college, Stugatz, because the leap that he's made from 1 year to the next made it feel like he came into the sport recently without very much coaching because of how inaccurate he was. A lot of talent, but super inaccurate.
It's a massive leap. You're right. But if you want those good opponents, Dan, they're coming because next week it's at Titans, then it's Chiefs, then he gets the Jets. But then it's Patriots, Seahawks, and Cardinals. So you'll get the good opponents.
We'll see. We'll see in the next 10 games, because we've talked about his fumbling problem, and he's playing great. And those skill guys are indeed great. He is throwing to people who are more open than they were last year. Diggs was a really good trade for them.
Yes.
He changes it when you're allowed to drop Brown and Beasley down in your receiver rotation and make them less important. Diggs has been great for them, and so he has a substantive amount of help. And now with Cam Newton being out at least 1 week, right, because it might be more than 1 week, at least 1 week, the Bills are in a good position to win that division, even with that schedule, right, because their football team's good.
To your point, he went to Wyoming, so college coaching might have been an issue.
Well, he was, you know, 58% completion percentage in this NFL. Like, that's not good enough, which is what he was last year. But now this year, he's close to 70% or hovering around 70%. And they're using him really smartly, Stugatz, because it's a lot of safe stuff. And then every once in a while, he just unleashes it because he's got a monster arm. And so you have to guard the whole field, because you never know when he's going to be rolling to his left and just decide to throw it 50 yards, even though most of what they're doing is super safe.
It went from 58.8 to 71% in one season. And this year, he has 15 total touchdowns, 12 throwing, 3 running, and just 1 interception.
How many fumbles does he have this year? Because that was one of the problems. It was the big problem last year, because he fumbled a lot when he ran the ball. And when people talk about last 14 games, 33 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, they ignore the fumbles, and they really shouldn't, because if you're turning the ball over by fumble or interception, it doesn't much matter. The stats to look at are total turnovers, and then also the advanced metrics on how many interceptable balls did you throw, not just how many did you have intercepted, because what ends up fluctuating there is some years you get really lucky with interceptable balls that aren't intercepted, and some years you get really unlucky.
He had 13 fumbles last year. He has 3 this year. 3.
Okay. So again, it's okay though.
He's sort of on the same pace.
But you can live with that if he's never going to throw interceptions. What I worry is one of these reckless games where he costs it against a good team in a moment that matters, because your quarterback is playing reckless with the football at a time that the quarterbacks simply don't play reckless with the football. Like, have you seen how they're using Roethlisberger this year? Like, he is not gunslinger guy. He is aging quarterback caretaker that every once in a while throws down the field, but they suffered an inordinate amount of recklessness from him in the aging process over the last 2 years before he got hurt last year. And it's even as he's throwing for 5,000 yards, right, that's not how quarterbacks are playing anymore. Like, I'm not even sure that Brett Favre gets to have that success in this league, because he's gunslinger guy turning the ball over all over the place. But Mahomes was barely even throwing as much as Mahomes did. Mahomes was barely double digit interceptions last year, right? 11, 12.
I'll look it up. I think it was less than that, to be honest with you. That was me having Flemish.
You got to stop coughing into the microphone.
All right. It's my microphone, though.
When we care about optics so much as a company, and you don't even have to worry about optics with these digital properties, all you have to worry about is not doing what you just did.
Right. Sorry about that. I'm looking up Mahomes, though. Can I focus on that? I can only do one thing at a time.
You could not cough into the mic. I that's one of the two things you could have done simultaneously.
You're right.
I feel like those are two things that he should be able to do, but are you worried at all, Mike, about the amount that this is happening with him?
You have to be resigned to the fact that, okay, Greg Cody's just always going to be this from here on out. Whatever happened to his lungs, and thank God it was okay and it was benign, but he's just never going to be fully recovered from that. Sugats is just always going to be the guy that coughs up his own phlegm.
Flemmy, it's allergy season, Dan. 5 interceptions last year.
I had 11 or 12 interceptions from Mahomes last year. 5? 5? It's ridiculous.
He's good.
Yeah. 5.
He had 12 the year before.
Okay. There. Saving grace. Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate
you. He has 85 touchdowns and 18 interceptions.
I appreciate you bailing me out with the 12 from the year before.
The burden of content is such that we have to make snap judgments on these young quarterbacks. And it's not just the burden of content. It's young quarterbacks coming into the league and you being able to make a snap judgment for the most part. Maybe it's not sexy television, but we should reserve judgment for third-year quarterbacks. Is this a novel concept? Because we were talking loads of shit about Josh Allen his first 2 years. We were talking loads of shit about Baker Mayfield his second year, even though he had a really good statistically rookie year. Maybe it's not sexy. We should pull back some.
That's fair commentary in that Peyton Manning's first year was a bit reckless as well. There are a number of things that need to be learned by a quarterback. But when a Josh Allen, Mike, is inaccurate in college and then comes into the league and is also super inaccurate, I wonder how it is that you're going to fix accuracy. Because it's one thing with Baker Mayfield. You haven't heard me take a position one way or the other with Baker Mayfield, but Baker Mayfield's always been accurate. The thing that I was marveling about as it relates to Josh Allen is the inaccuracy combined with recklessness and the missing by wide margins. Easy, easy throws, then throw in terrible judgment as well. Terrible judgment. Even yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, they're up 14, they're in field goal range. The thing that has to happen there is they kick a field goal to put the game out of reach. He runs 20 yards backward and they sack him out of field goal range.
I mean, what has this poor Josh Allen ever done to you?
Well, no, because now...
I mean, what does he have to do? I mean, it's been 16 games. He's been playing like an MVP. I mean,
hindsight does make this stuff look pretty easy, though. Oh, with Josh Allen... Imagine that. He didn't have the greatest talent around him in Wyoming. He didn't have the greatest talent around him at Buffalo. And now he has a receiver like Stephon Diggs who puts up borderline Hall of Fame numbers. At least that's his career trajectory. And you realize, oh, he's better. And Baker Mayfield is not in the class of Josh Allen because Josh Allen is a legitimate MVP candidate. But he's playing within the system, and he's playing better, and he's giving you like the peaks of Kirk Cousins within that same system too, hopefully without the valleys. And you could look at, with hindsight, oh, he had Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens. That's not great for a young quarterback. When you're in it, we don't like to apply this sort of context to it. Because last year, I mean, he had John Brown and Cole Beasley.
I don't think, though, that you guys, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong here, Stugatz, I don't think that you heard anything in the way of an opinion from me at all about Josh Allen until the playoff game against Houston when the Bills looked like their defense was Super Bowl good. They lead 16-0, and all they need is their quarterback to not be reckless. And some of the decisions that he made in that game, lateraling the ball, throwing across his body deep to a fullback who was double covered, running backwards in overtime or as they headed to overtime, running closer to the wrong goal line and getting tackled than the right goal line. Like that was the stuff. That's the only time that you heard from me. Good God, this is terrible. This is not professional quarterbacking at the most important time. I don't think you heard anything. Like I'm not the guy who wants to be out there first with so-and-so. Like I don't know what to make of Herbert. I don't, he's good, Dan. He looks big. Yeah. But the thing about saying that he's good, Stugatz, is that we thought that about Daniel Jones after his first game. Like you said,
Danny Dimes.
You said Gettleman had a quarterback after his first game.
I thought he did, but Danny Dimes didn't have the same type of hair. I mean,
that's what it is. Like,
it's a big difference. Yeah.
He might have it, Dan. I'm telling you. Look at what he's been doing. He might have it.
Arians thinks so. Arians said after the game yesterday, as
is
Herbert
he talking about Brady or
he's certainly not talking
Arians. Arians is not here to chum up to Tom Brady. I don't. He obviously had to sign off on the move, but every single public comment from Bruce Arians leads me to believe he didn't want Tom Brady as his quarterback because I think in the lead up to the game he was asked, "Hey, you've coached so many great quarterbacks." Over your wide career, if you could take a piece from every quarterback, and now that you're coaching Tom Brady, come on, build the perfect quarterback. Yeah, and he's like,
Andrew Luck.
I already had the perfect quarterback. It's Andrew Luck. His name is Andrew Luck.
What is it about? Think about what we're talking about here, because this is funny. Tom Brady is basically, as close as you can come to consensus, the greatest quarterback in the history of that sport.
Yeah.
Why won't his coaches say anything nice about him publicly?
Because he's not responsible for it. The greatness. I'm telling you, he's responsible for all the other great, like Peyton, he's responsible. Luck, he's responsible. But with Tom Brady, this was Belichick's doing. It was Josh McDaniels doing. It was not Bruce Arians.
It's weird, man.
It's weird
that they don't say good things. And it was feeling a little wash time with Tom Brady. What is that, 4 pick sixes in his last 6 games?
That's interesting. Yeah, he threw another one yesterday. And
he had 5 TDs, too. Yeah,
but he looked came great. Back. He looked great after
he did.
It.
Oh, he looked phenomenal. Entering the game, they were saying, oh, it's bad weather. A guy like Tom Brady, who's not having success throwing to the outside anymore, he's going to have a lot of dink and dunks to Ronald Jones and use the tight ends. So close to catching a 16-1 first touchdown from Gronk. So close. Cameron Brate, you bastard.
He's always there.
Ronald Jones, 3 drops. Mike, but then he started going deep.
Hold on, Mike. How many first touchdown bets do you have?
So I figure, if I'm betting these at like 16-1, that means over the course of an NFL season, I just got to win like one of these if I bet one a week,
to
right?
To break even.
So they made a mistake. They let me win one early. So,
oh, that's always the worst.
So Jerick McKinnon last week cashed. I was so happy about that. I got that at 8-1. Nice little $50 unit. That pays. That big boys pays, yeah. Right? Yeah. But I got Gronk at 16-1. So I'm like, if I nail this Gronk one, I pay for all my first touchdown props for the year. So close.
But it was only 8-1, the one you hit.
No, the one that I hit was McKinnon, and I was like, oh, that pays for it. And then I went bust on Waller, Galladay, and Gronk.
This is troubling.
Such an odd bet to be
made. I thought you were only making one bet per week.
No, because I won one. I was like, I won one. Now it's like, oh, I only have to win one of these per season I only have to win one of these a month.
It sounds like you are spending all of Friday and Saturday preparing the number of bets to make on Sunday.
I'm a volume player, no doubt.
Mike's 12 p.m., like the noon hour on Sunday before the 1 o'clock kickoffs must be such a stressful time.
Do you throw in some extras? Yes. Do you throw in some extras right under the wire where you're like, prop bet, someone will have a play over 41 yards in this game?
I do that all the time with Tyreek Hill. Longest catch. That's easy money. Well, Tyreek Hill, they still haven't adjusted this line. It's usually like 24.5, and he has that in the first quarter.
Mina's way seems easier. It's 2 games a week. She's like, no.
No, if someone bets with the volume of mine, like right. they can be like a 55% gambler and still take a beating on juice. Right. I bet too much, but I just like it.
But you're having fun.
I love it.
Oh, you feel alive.
It is so much fun.
When McKinnon catches that.
This pandemic has brought me back into gambling, and I like it.
It's like the pandemic, huh?
And players to score in soccer in the Premier League, I own that category. I straight up own that.
Jesus Christ. He does tennis, too.
Dude, I kill that. I
hear you two talking tennis, and it mortifies me.
Well, I couldn't get into Roland Garros. That was the one that got
weird.
Cut out.
Yeah.
I can't go with like a fall-time Roland Garros. It's just not for me, especially right. with some of the players that didn't play in that one.
You
so
do
no
tennis, too.
Tennis.
I mean, when the Bear gives you a 14-player tennis parlay and it comes in, you'd start betting tennis, too.
Oh, yeah. Also, I told myself, okay, I want to have one 16-team parlay that's open. And treated survivor rules, right? Only this time, I can bet the same team multiple weeks. I'm like, okay, so this is survivor with relaxed rules. I'm going to kill this. And then I didn't have the discipline, and I had at one point 12, 10 to 16 team open parlays. The dust has settled a little bit, and we're down to 3, folks. But I feel really good about these 3. These are going to cash.
Are you guys worried about that we're going to have to send Mike to Gamblers Anonymous? Are you guys, is anyone here worried about just the sheer amount? Anyone here?
Anonymous. I'll wear this. Proudly.
Do you guys want to stage an intervention of any sort?
I mean, he seems fine to me.
From what he says, he seems to be around even, so who knows?
Yeah, right. About even as a gambler, losing hundreds on juice. Come on, let me live.
All good.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. do you have a gambling problem if you're betting Tyreek Evans over...
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill, excuse me.
I used to bet plenty of Tyreek Evans, points plus rebounds back in the day.
Right. Mike Evans, what are you doing there? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just getting old.
I'm glad you're not fighting it anymore. Did you ever read that Vegas Dave article I sent you that Forbes did?
I just saw the headline.
It was such a great, the Vegas Dave thing is like in gambling lore. Vegas Dave is like touting. He's like, okay, I promise you 63-0 my baseball picks. We did better than that. We did 73-1. That's right, 73-1 on my baseball picks. Get the f*** out of here.
Just lying.
73-1.
Yeah, just like, we did better than 63-0. I promise you.
You wouldn't be selling your picks if you were 73-1.
Baseball's so hard. I haven't hit a baseball bet since 9.
73-1.
That's great.
I haven't hit a baseball bet since Nam, says Chris Cody.
Nam.
Born 30 years after Nam. What the
fuck? I don't know what Nam is. Vietnam, right? All right.
Yeah.
I just know the saying.
Your dad, right?
That is my dad.
You got that from your dad, right?
I actually hit Marlins game 2 money line, baby. What?
For clarification on how it is the aging process is going to work with me, the reason Tyreek Hill actually became Tyreek Evans in the last segment is because I couldn't find in my mind, I couldn't remember what the poll question is that I wanted to ask Guillermo, because I just remembered it during the break. It's a different kind of aging. It's aging on two fronts. As I'm trying to remember what the poll question was, I say Tyreek Hill's name wrong. And the thing that I was trying to ask Billy to put on the poll is, when a gambler tells you he's even, does that mean for sure he has lost? Like, does that mean 100% certainty that he has lost when he tells you he's breaking
the even? Best gamblers on the planet hit at about a 58% clip.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone tells you they hit like 70%, they are so full of shit.
I mean, Wayne Root's been telling me that for years.
Chris Jericho defeated Colin Cowherd.
Le Champion!
Yes, Colin Cowherd. I think he went 1-3-1, and La Champion is 3-1 headed into a game that he's got tonight. Mike, are you going to put any fanfare on the national show? Like, can we do Dan Is Loud Wrong Day? Are you going to put any production elements around playing for the national audience? How wrong I was about Jimmy Butler, because people will eat that up. There's very little we do better than Parade of Gas Bags in terms of people love hearing opinionated announcers being wrong.
Yeah, I think I have a Loud Wrong Day open here. So let me see. This might be dated, though. It might just reference a Notre Dame game. We'll find out together. This is the beauty of not being able to preview sound with a live Zoom.
That is Loud Wrong Day.
I can just do that.
That's good.
I can just cut it off there.
That is Loud Wrong Day.
Perfect.
I was loud wrong this weekend.
Loud.
What is today's date? Let's mark it as an official holiday.
Wrong.
It is the 13th of November.
I see it's dated. Your day.
How do we make this like a holiday? So, and on this day every year, because of how wrong I was.
All right, so I'll just start it here.
That is Loud Wrong Day.
And I'll end it.
We could have somebody just like do the work parts for October 4th.
That is Loud Wrong Day.
Chris, take me through your experience last night. You last week we told people that after the Heat beat the Celtics, that you ran nude into the street wearing only Crocs, swinging your pants over your head, and you said you'd be back around game 3 partying nonstop. And so last night you tell us again, and Stugatz, tell me if I've got this right. I think Chris has expressed more fear recently that the games have been ratcheted up to a place where he is more afraid than I have heard anyone in our crew talk about being afraid at the start of fourth quarters, before games, in the first quarter, just generally watching all of this with a great deal of anxiety.
He seems super afraid. I understand it. Billy does too, though, where he just wants the weekends to go by. He doesn't want to watch the Marlin game, just wants to see the results. I don't get that. That's the beauty of sports, beauty of being a fan, getting to watch your team in the postseason. But Chris has been unreasonably concerned and nervous about
Chris,
the
what's going on? Are you more afraid than Billy now? Billy has Billy. That was his corner. That was his. Nobody infringed upon the Billy corner of fear. Are you rivaling Billy now in terms of fear? Are you feeling the same things with these games that he's feeling with the Marlins?
I don't know, man. I just love it. I just love, like, I am, you're right. You're not mischaracterizing my emotions. I have been terrified, but I love that feeling. I've missed it. I got it with the Marlins last week.
I'm living and dying with every pitch. And you know, with this Lakers series, yes, I've been terrified because they have the two best players. So it's just like that fourth quarter last night, I was saying to my wife, I was like, this is the worst feeling in sports, but I love it. When like you just felt like they were going on a run and, oh man, I can't describe it. I just love it.
Were you going for misrepresenting? Jesus, that was
mischaracterization.
Perfect.
I feel like I actually got it out right. No, like
just,
I stuttered
just
a little
took
bit.
You time, and that just speaks to your guys' dynamic.
Just
really,
leave that in there, happened. Please. All of it. Thank you.
I wouldn't what do you mean? Consider taking
what,
it out.
Nuts. What are you going? Like, of course sometimes. It's like, why do you keep pointing out that we're taping this as if that much gets taken out of it? Like, of course he's going to leave that in there.
If he was wondering if I'd be upset if he left it in there, the answer is no. And I prefer that you leave it in there because it's funny. That was all.
I appreciate it.
You got it.
By the way, congratulations.
Leave that in there, too.
Yeah, I'll leave all of this
in
there.
All of it, yes.
Congratulations on making it through that phlegm that was very clearly stuck in your throat.
You noticed.
About 90 seconds ago.
Fought through it. I've already given up $25 this morning.
Guys, can we just stop for a second and think about tomorrow? What a day tomorrow is going to be. The Marlins, game one of the NLDS. The Heat, game three, down 2-1.
Game four.
I mean, whatever, man. Yeah. God, what a time to be alive. Are you guys not excited? Like, you guys aren't watching this?
I'm going
to
enjoy today.
Hurricanes.
It's Dan Loud wrong day. I'm going to enjoy that. We got a doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight. I'm going to enjoy
Hurricanes
today.
Hurricanes playing Clemson, and yeah. Clemson looking, you know, against Virginia, not
don't do that.
Totally unstoppable.
14.5, yeah. That hook looms large.
Don't you guys do that, man. I care about both of you.
Clemson didn't look great against
number
Virginia.
Number one versus number seven.
Chris.
You've earned the electric guitar. Congratulations.
I like that
song. That was
pretty
good. That sounded just like
it. Yeah, the Marshmallow Juice World song. I like that song now. It's much better than Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Chris, is there any difference between your fear with the Marlins and your fear with the Heat? Are they the same? Are they equal? Because Stugatz has always gotten mad at me talking, you know, from 2010 through 2014 when I was saying the fear is always part of the fun. You don't think it's fun after you've lost, obviously. To be afraid and then lose is terrible. But only because you risk that does last night end up feeling the way last night ends up feeling for you, where now you get to be hopeful again. And furthermore, you don't have to stew in the shit of the coverage for several days. You get to turn on your television and just like, yes, remind me of Jimmy Butler making Dan Loud wrong again and again.
I had Tim Legler just replaying last night, just all night.
Oh, you didn't go Sun Sports. You got to go Sun Sports with the local coverage. Yeah, I did that. I first went to SportsCenter. I saw Legler and his perfect chin weigh in. And then I realized, you know what? I know Sun Sports does these like Heat playoff post games now. So I had Ron Rothstein hitting the button. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero complimenting Jay Jax on his wardrobe choice. I got it all there. That's where I go seek it out.
Do we know whether Legler's doing Halloween or not this year? Are we going to do anything
of course
with
he's
him?
Doing Halloween.
I mean, no, it's a pandemic. We're not sending anybody
his
anywhere.
Hits, his no, hits has had Halloween backgrounds.
Yeah, he's got he's like decorated. Halloween backdrops. Yeah. Yeah,
Mike, I didn't mean sending someone out there. I mean, are we doing anything with him?
We'll have him on during Halloween.
It's amazing just how wrong you were. 40-point triple-doubles. It is now LeBron James, Jerry West, and Jimmy Butler.
It's so good. It really is. I was stunned by all of that last night. I was stunned that they won. I was stunned that the Lakers were terrible, that Anthony Davis was useless. And I was most stunned by what it is that Jimmy Butler did, specifically the way he did it, because I was surprised enough that he did it in general. But the idea, I really didn't think this would be so at any point in the series. I didn't think at any point in the series we would be saying Jimmy Butler was clearly the best player on the court. I didn't think that was going to make an appearance because of the way the Heat play, where Jimmy Butler isn't asked to do that very often, so we haven't seen it very often.
He scored or assisted on 73 of the 115 Heat points. It's the second most in NBA Finals history behind Walt Frazier.
And Stugatz, the previous times that he has erupted, a handful of times he's erupted for big point totals with the Miami Heat, that's like natural flow of the game stuff. But without Goran Dragic, without Bam Adebayo, we said the only way the Heat get a game and buy time to get those guys healthy is by Jimmy Butler raising his game from arguably top 15 to top 5, better than Anthony Davis, better than LeBron James. And for one night, he was.
It's not merely that I didn't think that he could get to 40 points. I didn't think that he could get to 40 points inefficiently, Stugatz.
Right.
Against this defense. Now, one of the variables that I had not accounted for is Anthony Davis not being out there. It does kind of change things. You guys know that when you've been watching this, there have been a couple of times that Tyler Hero against LeBron, you're like, ooh, he's small. He's not actually small.
Tyler Hero is small against Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is 6'10".
Well, he's not full grown. Tyler Hero's not done physically growing at this point. But what I wanted to ask you, Chris, and I don't know, Roy, if you do any of this because you've got little kids in the house, how much yelling at the television do you do through that fear, Chris? Like, how alarmed is your wife? How alarmed is your child by daddy's behavior?
Yeah, I mean, my wife, it's just a thing where she's going to say, can you stop? Like, can I just keep doing it? And it's just a vicious cycle. And that's why she, you know, no Sundays for Chris during basketball playoffs.
So how does this work, though? What are you, like, when she's asking you to stop, what is she asking you to stop doing?
Just because I'm like, it's usually, because I try to tame it, but sometimes, you know, Dan, it's just untamable. It's just when it's tame, it's just, I'll start beating on my couch because like the couch absorbs the slap. So I'll just start like slapping the cushion on my couch insanely. Yeah. Those are the two things I do because I know those are relatively quiet. But the big shots, I'm up out of my seat and I'm just like, and I'm like giving her a high five that she doesn't want. And she's just like, she's sleeping.
Now, my wife's from down here. So she was partaking in it last night. She was screaming, hissing at the television, cursing, mother bleeping LeBron James for complaining about every single call by the referee.
So you stole her take? You reheated and recycled the terrible take of the last decade. Everyone yelling about LeBron quit being a crybaby. It's not even your own take.
It's Abby's.
Now, let me just preface this comment by saying, I am not a parent, so I don't know. But why is your kid asleep, Chris? If your daughter grows up and she's going to be this big Heat fan and she's like, oh my God, the Heat came back and they had the miraculous game, Jimmy Butler, Daddy, what was I doing? And like, well, you were asleep for that game because you had a busy day of what exactly to do today that she had to be rested up for. Daycare? Like, she could go and she could sleep in daycare, can't she? You got to keep her up and watch those games. Again, I'm not a parent.
Yeah, Billy, you're not a parent.
Sure not.
It's a parent.
He began that sentence and ended it perfectly. I'm not a parent.
Once 8 p.m. hits, oh, it's bedtime, and it is mommy daddy time.
Roy, what about you? What about you? Do you yell at the television?
No, it's a lot of soft-spoken profanity and hands in the air, basically.
How about, is there any sporting event like hockey or like, is there any sporting event that that gets you to yell at your television?
No, not at all. When it comes to hockey games, the TV is always louder than me and Anita's always yelling at me, turn the TV down. It's too loud. Claire's trying to sleep. Somebody scores and then all of a sudden goes off and then all hell breaks loose.
The emotions just go from Roy's brain to Twitter. There's no outward. No one hears anything.
He screams on Twitter. Usually something about your mama.